take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14. Luke 14, I want you to find verse number 16. Luke 14, verse number 16. And I want you to stand with me, if you would, please. Luke 14, starting with verse number 16. And I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Luke chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse number 16. And I lost it again. Here we go. The Bible says this. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that the servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. We're going to say a word of prayer, and I want to retell this story to you quickly, and I want to show you something about it. Our Father, bless us now as we share together a truth from the Bible. Help us to be better Christians because of what we hear. Holy Spirit of God, please help our attention to quickly engage so that we will be attentive to the truth, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. In this, don't talk now, but listen. A man had planned a great supper. He invited many people to come to that supper. He sent his servant to remind those that had been invited, his guests. And the Bible says that they began making excuses for not doing what the man had invited them to do. Guest number one had an excuse, and he said, I can't come to the supper. I bought a piece of land, or I bought a house. I can't come. The second guest made an excuse and said, I bought some oxen. Oxen would have been used like a tractor, if you will. It had to do, probably, if you will, his business. He was a farmer. The third guest made an excuse. That excuse was, I got married and I can't come. And so this had to do with his family. Now, the master, as the Bible called him, became angry. Now, I'm not going to tell the story over and over again here. I just wanted to read the story to you, and then I wanted to describe it a little bit to you. Now, I want to make a bit of an application, if I could, please. The man here, the man that became upset or angry, that man in this story pictures God. God was inviting some people to do something, and they made up excuses as to why they could not. The people that had been invited, that would kind of picture you and I, Christians, or even lost people. So what's happening here, there is a parallel that is being drawn mentally, that God had invited some people to do something. They made up excuses as to why they were not going to do that. And God became angry. So I don't think God should become angry. I don't think you should ever tell God what he's supposed to do. God knows what he's doing. See, when God gets angry, it's different than when you get angry. God can get angry in a holy way. When you get angry, it's just going to cost you some drywall at your house if you put your fist through it. God doesn't handle himself like that. Now, they made excuses. What is an excuse? Excuses, they're lies developed in our mind, then wrapped in a pretty package. And then you present that pretty package to yourself, or you present that pretty package to somebody else. But what is an excuse? Webster's Dictionary defines an excuse as an attempt to release oneself of a responsibility. An excuse is an attempted apology with hope of not receiving blame for not having fulfilled an obligation or a duty. The Greek word for excuse used in the New Testament, it's paratoama. Paratoama. And this is what it means. To avoid, refuse, or reject a responsibility. Or it means to mentally dodge one's obligation. So an excuse in the New Testament is when we mentally try to dodge a duty or responsibility that's been given to us. When I studied that and I seen that, I immediately was taken back to high school gym class. In high school gym class, we played dodgeball. And God said, you sometimes dodge responsibilities He is trying to shove your way. I'm going to play God for just a little while. This red ball is a responsibility. Brother Tyler, why don't you come up here and help me for a second? Tyler is going to be the Christian. And Tyler, I'm going to put this chair over here because I'll let you use it in a little while. But immediately you're not going to use it. I'm God. This is a responsibility. And God throws responsibilities our way. But so many times we mentally make a decision to physically dodge the responsibility. For instance, you ought to be faithful to church. But watch. This ball is faithfulness to church. I'm God. There's the Christian. And you know what you do. You have every excuse under the sun for dodging the ball. You should tithe. He's really good at dodging that one, isn't he? But you dodge the ball. Now, let me tell you where it starts. It starts in your mind, but then it affects the rest of you. You're to be a soul winner. And so, fakey doodles. But he dodges it. You should be separated from the world. But he dodges it. You see, there's all sorts of responsibilities. Involvement around the church. Our sinful behavior. Your character flaws. God says, I want you to straighten you up. I want you to get it together. I want you to stop being lazy. I want you to learn to be on time. I want you to learn to work hard. But boy, God throws a responsibility and you are all over the place. What are you doing? According to the scripture, the word excuse is to mentally dodge one's obligation or responsibility. Brother Tyler, you can sit down there. Maybe turn that thing just a little bit more this way. I may have you do a little dodging, but I won't necessarily tell you when. What we do is we think up our own excuses, then we accept them ourselves, then we pass them on to others. I would recommend that you're careful because your children are learning to be excuse makers as well. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice God says, you make up excuses, but there's coming a day when your excuses will mean nothing because He already knows the truth. And you may fake me out, and I may fake you out, and I may dodge you, and you may dodge me, and we may all dodge God, but I've got news for you. God's got your number. You say, got past that one. You didn't get past anything with God. You just dodged something that God needed from you, and you wrapped your excuse in a pretty package to pacify yourself and hopefully pacify the leaders that would have been involved. But God sees right through our excuses. I wonder if in heaven, God doesn't look down and every church in America on Sunday morning, God doesn't look at it from heaven as a big dodgeball game. God gives a pastor a truth and he says, now you go preach that. The pastor's preaching and everybody in the congregation. You see, I thought about calling the sermon Spiritual Dodgeball. You know, I got to looking in the Bible and I see this excuse thing. It's in there. For instance, Adam made up an excuse. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 12, the Bible says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me the tree I did eat. What happened is Adam and Eve were told not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve took of it. Adam took of it. And you know what? God said, Adam, what's going on here? And God wanted Adam to step up and be responsible. And so God went to throw the ball. And Adam dodged and said, my excuse is my wife. That's what he said. God said, why'd you do that? Adam said, my wife. You say, well, Pastor, what's your opinion about that? I think it was a cop out and he was a wimp and was trying to pass the buck and blame his wife for his own disobedience. In a lot of marriages, you have people that want to blame their failures on their mate. Husbands want to blame their wives, and wives want to blame their husband. What are you doing? You're playing spiritual dodgeball. I'm not right with God, and I would be if it were not for my wife. I'm very sorry. That doesn't hold water with God. Did you know your wife can't make you right with God, and she can't make you wrong with God? The very first excuse that I see in the Bible, God says, Adam, what's up with you? And he said, it's a woman you gave me. God threw a ball and Adam went. Whew. That's what he did. You say, I'm bitter. And it's my husband's fault. Did you know nobody can make you bitter but you? If you're bitter, that's your problem. I realize there are people that could do things that would hurt you, but how you respond to that hurt, that's you. That's your final decision. So I think Adam played dodgeball. And when he dodged, he blamed his wife. And God comes to us, and I think God has some responsibilities, duties, or behaviors. He throws it at us, and we want to dodge it. And what is that? That's our excuse making. Well, Eve didn't do real well for herself either. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 13, the Bible says, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent. Adam said, God, wasn't me. It's my wife. God went to the wife and said, what's going on? She said, wasn't me. It's a serpent. You say, well, Pastor, didn't the serpent beguile her? Yeah, he lied to her, but I think you need to know God had told Adam and Eve, don't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's going to cause you a mess. She knew as much as Adam did. She was not supposed to do it. And God said, you're going to have to take responsibility. He went to toss the ball, and Eve went, whoa, it's a devil. Now, did you know she blamed Satan? Because it's his fault. Matter of fact, let's blame him for everything. Matter of fact, hey, Christian, I guess you won't have to take responsibility for any of your sin, will you? You can just blame the devil for all of it. You can go out and get drunk and say, look what that devil did to me. You did that to you. And you know better. But you dodge it, don't you? How many of you ever heard of the old comedian named Flip Wilson? On his shows, he used to say, the devil made me do it. Yeah, the devil's powerful and the devil's strong, but the devil can't make you do anything. And we live in a generation of Christianity that are trying to prove their deep belief in the presence of the devil, so they want to blame him for everything that they do. He's influential. I don't deny that. But he can't make you yield to temptation. That's your fault. Some of you need to stop lying to yourself about the power of Satan. Start telling you truth about the power, telling yourself the truth about the power of God. And realize that the sin in your life is overcomable. And stop giving in to wrong and saying, it's all because of the devil. There are all sorts of people that didn't give in to the same devil that had victory in the same area. They didn't dodge the responsibility. So what I see is I seen Adam dodge. Then I watched Eve dodge, make up excuses. I see that Lot did some dodging. He played some dodgeball. Good catch, Michael. In Genesis chapter 19, verse number 19, the Bible says this, "Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." Here's the situation. Lot was in Sodom. He did not need to be there. He needed to get out of Dodge. That's a bad city. He needed to get out of Rome. He needed to get out of Sodom. You know what he said? Listen to these words. He wasn't going to obey and separate. And he said, "I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die." So God had taught him to separate and get out of there. And he said, if I try to leave, some evil will come upon me and I'll die. You know, here is his excuse. I might get hurt. He said, lest some evil take me and I die. You know, we know, by the way, we know it's an excuse, because later on, Lot leaves the city of Sodom and nothing happens to him. He said it did to his wife. Well, that was because of her misbehavior when she was told not to look back. If she wouldn't have looked back, she wouldn't have turned into the world's largest cow lick. She wouldn't have. If she would have just left like she was told to leave and not look back, she would have never turned into that salt lick. I'll promise you. You know what? He later on leaves. You see, let me explain if I can. Lot uses these words. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. He is saying, to get away from my sin could hurt me. I guess somebody's pretty boogered up in their thinking, huh? It'll cost me. Well, it may cost you something to get away from your sin. Some of you invested way too much in it. If I do right, it will hurt. Now, does the devil have you so blind that you now believe to give your whole self to God would hurt you? Where did you learn such corrupt reasoning? But Lot said, I'm here. This is where I am. To leave could hurt me. No, to stay will hurt you. But mentally, he was playing dodgeball. Hey, folks, it is not God's will that will hurt you. You say, it's the devil's. That's not the one I'm most worried about. Not the devil's. I'm worried about your will. Your will. You doing what you want. You see, the word excuse means to avoid, refuse, reject, shun, or to mentally dodge one's obligation. Adam did it. He threw Eve under the bus to dodge the ball. Eve did it. She said, had to be that devil. Sure, the devil was there. But she knew quite clearly she was not to do what she did. Lot did it. He said, to serve God will hurt me. Tried to dodge the ball. Moses played some dodgeball. In Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." God had said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to go do something." And Moses, he tried to dodge the ball. He said, "I can't. I'm not a good talker." And then he said this. He says in Exodus 3:11, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" So God said to Moses, "Moses, you go talk to Pharaoh." And Moses said, I'm not a good talker. So he dodged the ball. And then Moses turns around and he says, "Who am I? I'm a nobody." Huh. He doesn't want to step out and be used of God because he's not a good talker. Well, there are some of you, you ought to be soul winners and you ought to be telling others about Jesus Christ, and you say, "I can't, I'm not a good talker." Well, you understand that this Moses that was not a good talker goes and talks to Pharaoh and leaves 3 million people just here in a few weeks. Say, what happened? Maybe he stepped out by faith and went ahead and did what God said, and God took care of the rest. But there are people here, you play dodgeball all the time. Moses did. Stop making up excuses and let God use you. You say, "But Pastor, I feel like Moses." Moses said, "Who am I that he would listen to me?" It didn't matter who Moses was. It mattered who God was. And God said, "I want you to get involved. I want you to commit yourself. I want you to step up." But there's this desire to play dodgeball. We don't want that responsibility. You know what we convince ourselves of? If I can dodge it, I'm released of the responsibility. That is not true. You say, "I came up with a good excuse as to why I will not tithe. I guess I'm relieved." No, you're never relieved of that duty. It doesn't work that way. Hey, Aaron played some dodgeball. I love this. This one tickles me. Moses had been out on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. Listen to Exodus chapter 32, verse 23, 24. It says, "And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for the Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what had become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So that they gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." Let me explain what happened. Moses was up on the mountain, and he was getting the Ten Commandments, and the people were getting a little, they were a little anxious down at the bottom of the mountain. And Aaron was their leader. And some of the people said, "Well, we don't know where Moses is, what's going on here." And then Aaron is explaining to God how they ended up with a false god made of gold that was a calf, and the people were worshiping it. And he said, "Well, you know, God, I just want to tell you the story. Moses was gone. You know the people, and you know how they are." And he said, "And they started giving me their earrings and their necklaces, and I cast the gold into the pot, and out popped a calf." Did you hear the scripture? He said, "And out popped this golden calf." And I'm sure God went, "Huh, really? Do you know who you're talking to, Aaron? I'm the one that threw the ball." Out come the calf. I just don't know how it happened. Aaron is making an excuse for his sin. He denies responsibility. Now, I'm going to tell you all something that you will have to learn if you want to succeed in the Christian life. When you do wrong, you have to admit you're wrong. Right. I did wrong. I sinned. If you'll do that, you'll be okay. There are parents in here. You've heard the stories. It's amazing what kids can come up with. How'd that happen? Well, it's a long story.
Folks, let me tell you, something that would help and energize your Christianity is when God throws a ball at you and he's trying to tell you, you are wrong, you sin, if you'll just suck it up and say, I'm guilty, and get right with God, we can get on with this thing. But if you're not careful, you'll make a mess for yourself. And you know that some of your excuses as to why you're doing wrong are more lame than Aaron's, and how popped a calf. What? Go think! A calf! That's the very calf they're worshiping. Hey, did you know there were 10 spies that made up some excuses when they had gone into the promised land? 12 spies went into Canaan to spy, and 10 of them came back and said it can't be done. 2 of them came back and said it can. What happened? Well, I really do think this. There were 10 spies that came back and they said, the enemy in the land are giants. You know what they were saying? The thing you're asking of me, God, is too big for me. I can't because it's bigger than me. Do you know there were 2 spies that said, we can. Same giants, just totally different attitude. 10 excuse makers. 10 excuse makers. And 2 people that had faith in God. Let me tell you all something. If it's bigger than you, you don't have to do it alone. God will help you. You know what will really make you strong? Doing something where you have to do it with God. That'll really make you strong. If God asks you to do something and it's big, hey, wonder if God asks you to do something that's too big, which he won't. And then you fail. Did you know it'll be his fault for picking you? But I'm going to tell you something. God will never give you a task that's too big for you. He's perfect. But people dodge responsibility constantly. We're always looking for excuses. I have excuse. I mean, just think about it. Adam had his excuse. Eve had her excuse. Lot had his excuse. Moses had his excuse. Aaron had his excuse. The 10 spies had their excuse. Hey, King Saul in the Old Testament, he played some spiritual dodgeball. Listen to this. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, it says, and Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me, that thou camest not when the days were appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. Here's what happened. Saul was the king, and he was about to go to battle, but the tradition was that a prophet or a priest would give a sacrifice before they went to battle. A king was never allowed to act as a priest. And Saul said, I'm getting ready to go to battle. I guess I'm going to go ahead and I'll do the priestly duty. He was never supposed to do that. So God came to him and said, Saul, what were you thinking? So God's throwing the responsibility ball at Saul. And so Saul mentally and very quickly, he made up his excuses. Let me read them to you. He said, because I saw that the people were scattered. God's people were scared. And Saul said, I did wrong because of the people. Oh, yeah, weak Christians influence us, but they don't force any decisions. You know what else he said? He said to Samuel, who was talking to him, he said, Samuel, I'm going to tell you why I did what I did. First of all, the people, they were scattered. It's the people's fault that I misbehaved. But not only that, Samuel, where were you when I needed you? Now he's saying, Samuel, I did wrong, but it's your fault. If you would have been where I needed you, it would have been fine. But he wasn't taking personal responsibility. He was making an excuse. God threw the responsibility and he was dodging. He said, it's got to be these people or it's the man of God. Now, Most of you will never have to stand in a pulpit, and most of you will not spend your life in the ministry, and most of you will not spend your life as a spiritual leader of a local New Testament church, but you would be shocked how many times it's got to be the pastor's fault that the people don't do right. If it were not for you, dodgeball. Elijah played some dodgeball. Elijah in 1 Kings 19:10, it says, "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left in the way, and they seek to take my life away." What had happened is that Elijah had ran and he went out to hide in a cave and under a tree. And here's what he says. He said, look, the price is just too high to pay. God said, I have something for you to do. And he dodged it. And when you get to asking why, he just said, the only thing I had left was my life and I didn't want to lose my life. Can I tell you all something about your life? If you're a Christian, it's really not yours anyway. It's God's. God throws a responsibility. God throws a wish. God throws anything at you. Don't dodge it. You say, but what do you want me to do? Give up my life? What did you want Jesus to do? Give up his life for you? Not unreasonable. You know, it's our responsibility to serve him even if it cost us something. I think I work extremely hard, and I hope I'm accomplishing at least some level of patience with God's people. I try to be a patient man. I'm not good at it, and some of you are saying, you are not a patient man, but I try to be. But I will tell you this, one of the hardest things in the world is to listen to people lie to you as to why they don't obey God. You wouldn't believe it. I could write a book. I don't because of this, I don't because of that. And in their brain, it's totally justified. You say, what do you do? I just say, well, maybe you'll understand someday that that is just pretty words that you have tried to use to relinquish your responsibility. You're just dodging. You're dodging. That's what an excuse is. Were you listening? And we're almost done. Were you listening to the very first passage of Scripture that we read from Luke chapter 14? The guy that had the supper. He had a supper. And the Bible later on says that he was a master. There's a good chance the people he was asking to come to eat worked for him. He said, we're going to throw this big banquet. I'm going to serve all these people. And the Bible says that he tried to get people to come to the banquet, and they began to make excuse. Let me read the excuses to you real quick and we'll be done. In Luke 14:8 it says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. And in verse 18 it says, the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Let me boil that down real quick for the sake of time. They said, my house, my things are more important than what you want me to do. Can I give you some advice? I'd be very careful putting your house and your things before God. Well, that's what he said. I bought a piece of land, and I need to take care of it. You say, I'm going to stay home from church and mow my yard. Because I want to have a good testimony in a community. Well, why don't you mow your yard on Monday and have a good testimony in a community? Now, I am amazed at how people can make up an excuse and be totally convinced. It's valid. It's valid. But that's what he said. He said, bought me a piece of property. That's why I can't get involved. That's why I can't do what I ought to do for God. He's dodging. Then, let me read another verse to you. In Luke 14, verse 19, it says, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Oxen in that day would have been equivalent to a tractor. You ever heard of horsepower? They had oxen power. Printed right on the side of your ox. It had oxen power. It's what they would have used to plow. Now, first of all, he said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to go get them proved. No knucklehead buys a tractor without driving it first. So you know this is you know, it doesn't take long to figure out this guy's already trying to twist things. He's dodging. But what is that? That's how he earned his living. Now, I realize that there are times when people have to work. And I realize there are times when people can't get involved in certain things because of their work. I realize that. But there's some people who use their job and making money excuse to do nothing for God. And then you know what you can do if you're not careful. You can tell everybody, well, I can't come to church because I have to work. And then because you have now set that up, you can stay home when you're not at work to hide from the responsibility, but you got us all convinced that you're at work. That's true, isn't it? I mean, that probably happens. I've never been there when you were at home, when you said you were at work, or giving us that impression. So I've never been there, but I'm going to guess it's a possibility. So if you stay at home and you'd like to convince everybody, I was taking care of my oxen when you weren't, I'd guess you were dodging something.
Yes, sir.
And you were first convinced, then you wanted to convince everybody else. It's called mental dodgeball. And then finally, I see here in this very story, they had been invited to a meal, and one said, I can't. I bought a piece of property, got to take care of that. Another one said, I bought some oxen, got to take care of that. And look at this in Luke 14, verse number 20, it says, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Let me recommend, first of all, to you, if you're not already married, don't marry someone that won't come to church. If they won't go to church now, they'll just pull you out of church later. Now, but I suppose if you're not careful, you could begin to use your family as excuse for not doing what you should for God. He said, I can't, and remember the whole parallel here. It's about God having some things he wanted of some people, and they made up excuses. That's a parallel of the scripture. He says, I married a wife, so I can't. So I would say to the unmarried, marry someone so you can serve God. I would say to the married, I would be careful. I would be careful using your family as an excuse not to serve God. It's very hard for me to justify thinking that I know better for my family than God does. To some of you, the local New Testament church is a joke. You pop by if you have time, if you can work it in. And then what you'll say is, but I love my family. Did you know that you can love your family and come to church too? I can make some of you really mad. You can be glad I'm very, very calm right now. I could say some things that would tick you off. I'm trying not to, but I'm tempted to. The people that think that all their excuses are adequate. And the rest of the world, they basically just go along with it. Not because the excuse is right. We just don't want to fuss with you about it. But what could this guy be saying? I can't show up because I married a wife. He is using his family as an excuse not to do what he should for God. Let me ask you this. Do you think you're a better protector of your family than God? So you don't have to use God's way, you'll use your way. Because we're all doing the same thing here. I'll use my way to protect my family, but I won't use God's way to protect my family. But God, we're shooting for the same target. I'm going to tell you something. You may think that's okay, but you better use God's way to protect your family. Because God knows what He's doing. And this may be extremely hard for you to accept. He loves your family more than you do. And He knows more about family than you do. He's the one that created it. But you know, God spends His life tossing responsibility and truth at us, and He watches us dodge. Dodge. And you know, did you know something? I could throw this responsibility at Brother Edwards. He'll dodge it. Watch. Same responsibility I'm going to throw it at Tyler. He dodges it. But you know what? Both of you, you might think, well, you know what? I'm doing the right thing. There's somebody else doing the same thing. Did you know something? Did you know that if everybody's doing it, that doesn't make it right?
That's right.
They're dodging. We found a whole group of dodgers. So we've got it down. Unison. Excuse making. Then what'll they do? They'll find another church where the pastor don't throw balls. The kind that penetrate deep in the heart. I'll just stay home. Watch it on TV. You'll never get hit with a ball then, will you? That's why you pick to play in that backyard. We just dodge. Let's all be careful that we are not making up mental excuses as to why we don't do what God wants. Think about it. Are you dodging some responsibility for God?